You know, Cindy just had surgery last week and on her foot, and so she has made a huge sacrifice to be here today, and we are grateful for that. Your Bible's open to 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. You'll notice in your worship bulletin today when it has a title for my sermon, it says evangelism. Our men are passing out a handout, and I will tell you the scripture verses are not on there. I'm going to give you the answers and the scripture passage as we walk through the handout. I want to talk to you today about the new birth, about what it means to be born again, and I'll make reference to the handout in just a second. But your Bible's open to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'll be reading a few verses. I may forget to mention this in the course of this morning's message, but in our rack, our resource rack, that's in the foyer, we have free books, free pamphlets, several things that are free. We do carry tracts. Now, we'll say our supply is not what it should be, but we do have three choices, and we're going to talk about salvation and why we need to share our faith. But we have three tracts out there, The Only Solution to the Greatest Problem by John MacArthur, one about the way, the truth, and the life, and then one called To Be a Christian by J.I. Packer. We'll order some more, but some are more comfortable when they have a burden for somebody and they want to witness to them, is to have a tract to use as a springboard to share the gospel, and that's fine, and we want to provide those for you to help encourage you to share the gospel. But before you share the gospel, I want to make sure you're saved. And so we want to talk about this. The word evangelism is the what I call the share the good news. To evangelize is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. So I just want to read this verse, and then we're going to talk about how Christ makes us new. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, 2 Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. And that's interesting. Saved people are alive, they're the living. Lost people are the dead. And remember, the book of Revelation says there's even a second resurrection, and it's when Christ brings back everybody that's died outside of Him, outside of salvation, and He brings them back to life, and He judges them at a judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment. So Christ is going to judge the living. That's us. We're in Christ and we're alive. I charge you in the presence of God and in Christ Jesus to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom. Paul's kind of laying out the prophetic schedule. We've been studying some of that. We've been talking a little bit about it since we've been dealing with heaven. He's going to appear. The saints are going to be called up, and then He's going to come back and establish a literal kingdom. I can't overemphasize the importance of that theology. There are a lot of people that do not believe in a literal return of Christ to this earth to reign for 1,000 years. Which it's hard to doubt that, because in Revelation chapter 20 it says it 6 times that He is going to reign for 1,000 years, and we will reign with Him. So Paul's just reminding us that Christ is going to appear, He's going to establish a kingdom, and we learned this, we've been talking about this on Wednesday nights. If you're saved, if you're dead in Christ right now, you're asleep in Jesus, you're with Him, absent in the body, is present with the Lord. We know the Bible says that. But the first, when all the saints are gathered, when all the saints of the church age are together, the first heaven that we're going to experience is when Christ rules this world from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, a literal reign. That's why He's a descendant of King David. He has the right to rule. Jerusalem will be the capital of the world. Zechariah, the whole book of Zechariah talks about this part of this kingdom. And the whole world will submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Satan will be bound. We will be glorified. And the Bible says, and we will reign with Him. One of the passages we read Wednesday night. Read the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. The meek shall inherit the earth. Well, that's us. Why should I want to accumulate worldly goods when the Bible says one day I'm going to inherit the earth? I'm going to help Christ rule the world. That's what the Bible says. So His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Folks, that's how people get saved. Well, look, when we do our handouts in a minute, we're going to see several verses that talk about the incorruptible seed, which is God's word, that is the means, one of the means, the Spirit's the other, of how God saves sinners. That's how He saved me. That's how He saved you. You heard the gospel. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine. And again, often the word for sound, often in the when it's translated in English, the word sound, often the Greek word is the word, our word, idea of cancer, but it's the word gangrene. So just think about anything, any word that's not God's word that you believe about how to get to heaven or how to have your sins forgiven, if it's not in the Scriptures, it's cancerous. And our world is full of cancerous words about how people get to heaven. Folks, it's only through belief in Christ, right? It's only through repentance and trust in Jesus Christ and the substitutionary death of Christ. I keep this up here on my pulpit, and it's a key with a cross, and it's just a reminder that the key to my salvation is the cross of Christ. Amen? But now, by the way, just carrying this or wearing a cross doesn't make you a Christian. You understand that, don't you? That's just jewelry. But it can serve as a reminder of our salvation through Christ. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves the word of stack up. It means more than one. They will just choose all kind of teachers. They will accumulate for themselves teachers, plural, to suit their own passions. You want to claim that you can live an active homosexual lifestyle and still be a follower of Jesus? All you got to do is look. There'll be a preacher that's preaching that's true. And you could go on and on and on down the line. They will find, they have itching ears, and they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And we don't want that to happen to us. So he says, as for you, and of course you, he's talking to Timothy as the pastor of the church at Ephesus. As for you, but he's talking to all of us. As for you. And let me tell you, you know that he's talking to all believers, okay? And one way we know he's talking to all believers is when Jesus prayed in John 14, when he prayed about the coming of the Spirit, he mentioned in John 14 and in John 16, he mentions that he's praying that not only for the apostles who were going to write his word, but he says for everybody that's going to be taught by their word. So he's praying for them, because they're going to write Scriptures, and also he's praying for those that's going to hear the Scriptures or read the Scriptures that they wrote. So we know that this word is not just for Timothy, it's for us. But he says, but as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, And then here's what I pulled out of the text just to, as a springboard. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And of course, now, again, when you're looking at God's called men, if you go back to Ephesians 4, a little lesson here, but if you go back to Ephesians 4, he gave the church, right, the apostles, he gave the church prophets, he gave the church evangelists. Now this is the church age, Ephesians 4:12. He gave the church. That means God picked these men and he gives them to the church. So God did that with the apostles, with prophets, with evangelists, and with pastor teachers. So by calling, Timothy's a pastor teacher. But Paul says, in addition to fulfilling your calling as the pastor teacher, you are also to do the work, though it may not be your primary role, you're to do the work of an evangelist. I'm going to be doing that this morning as a pastor because we're going to be talking about what it means to be born again. So all of us have this massive responsibility. Part of our goal in fulfilling ministry is part of us is to be evangelists. We're to share the gospel. Now, if you read the Bible, you'll find out that some people are gifted. They're gifted as evangelists. Now, I'm not talking about giving to the church. I'm talking about people just in spiritual gifts. Many are gifted in sharing. Others are not. No matter whether you're gifted to do it or not, the Bible calls all of us, every one of us, to be an evangelist. So if you're here today and you're saved, I can, without a doubt, tell you that God's will for you is to share the gospel with other people. That's a command from Scripture, that we're to share this good news. But we're going to talk this morning about being saved. Now, the word evangelist comes from good news, to share the good news. It's a big Greek word, put together two words, euangelion. You don't care about that. But basically, when we say evangelize, to share the good news. So not only was Timothy, and this would be my response, every pastor has it's not only to teach, reprove, rebuke, etc., but another responsibility of the pulpit of any church is to teach and lead in what the Bible would call evangelism. So if you have your handouts this morning, I do want to use the handout just as a springboard to talk about salvation. Let me read you a little. There's tons of definitions. I mean, you can go home and Google definitions of what it means to be the new birth or born again or twice born, whatever terms you want to use. But let me give you this one. It says the new birth is the creation of life by union with Christ. And we know that to be true, that Ephesians 2 clearly says that if you're a descendant of Adam, you were dead, you're born dead in sin. That's what the Bible says. Paul reminds us of that again in 1 Corinthians 15, that as a descendant of the first Adam, you inherited a sin nature and you are condemned. So Paul puts it like this in Ephesians 2, and you were dead in sin. So my little definition says, new birth is the creation of life by union with Christ, further empowered by the grace of faith. So along with being saved or regenerated, regeneration is the word for born again, in addition to be made brand new and regenerated, God, by His grace, empowers me to believe. I have a book in my office that's entitled, it's one of a great book on theology called Willing to Believe. So all this happens instantaneously, but when you are born again, God enables you through the new birth to believe God's Word. That's just how it happens. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tells us that. That grace is a gift that comes along with salvation. And salvation is God's plan through Christ to redeem sinners. So my little definition says the creation of life by union with Christ, further empowered by the grace of faith. Our newness of life and faith that saves comes together in Jesus Christ alone. So we live by faith, we're made new, and we live by faith. That all happens by the grace of God at salvation. We're enabled to believe, and we're made brand new. So that's why the Bible says we will live by faith. Our goal in life is not to live by sight, but to walk by faith. When Paul argues in Romans, now think about the logic of this, when he says, Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It works to lost people. That has to be true. You can't be saved unless the Word of God brings you to salvation. It's what Jesus says. So we know that's true about lost people. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, but it also is true for believers. My faith will grow only when I'm hearing God's Word. And so I mature in my faith. I believe. I mature. I grow. Whatever. I'm a better disciple. Whatever term you want to use, that happens when we have faith and we trust God's Word. Let's look at our handout. You ready? And I know some of you will want to write down, some of you don't care, and that's okay, you'll listen. Number one, but God being rich in mercy, I edited the verse. The rest of the verse says, but God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even we were dead in sins, made us alive together with Christ. Ephesians 2:5. He made us alive. It's, in creation, God made things out of nothing. That's His sovereign power, His omnipotence. This is why man can't save himself. The new birth can only be by the power of God. He's making life. It's a spiritual life. You can't make life. He can. So Paul puts it in the terms of made us alive together with Christ. And that's why when you read the Bible, there's all these verb action words that tie us to Jesus. I'm united with Christ. I'm working together with Him. I mean, all these, because it's about me being connected to what Jesus accomplished. One of the phrases that Robbie read out of 1 Peter 1 was, there's an inheritance that is ours by my trust in Christ, an incorruptible inheritance. And it's because I've been attached to Jesus Christ. So God in salvation made me alive and by Christ, together with Christ. Number two, He caused us, I told you that first one's Ephesians 2:5. He caused us to be born again to a living hope. That's the first verse that Robbie read, 1 Peter 1:3. He caused us. Do you see the acting agent of salvation in these verses? He caused us. He made us. Folks, salvation cannot be the works of man. We can have a lot of theological debates about election and predestination, but there's one thing we have to agree upon, and that's that salvation is by God alone. It cannot be the works of man. And then the end of the story is, if I didn't earn it, if it's true, if I've really been regenerated, given new life, if I didn't earn it and God gave it to me, then I can't lose it because it's not mine to lose. Do you understand the logic there? Now, again, there is no excuse for people who claim to know Jesus and call His name and use His name but live like the devil and never bear fruits of being saved. That's a lie. They are bearing a very horrible witness and they're lost. But for those that are really being saved, we're made alive together with Christ. We're born again to a living hope. Number three, of His own will, He brought us forth. Boy, that's a... It doesn't say new birth, but it is using birthing terms, am I right? Of His own will, He brought us forth by the Word of God. That's James 1:18. He brought us forth by the Word of God. So, we'll read some other verses in a minute, but so an acting agent, we're going to read the in Peter, an incorruptible seed. God saves us through the preaching of the Word and the moving of the Spirit. That's how the God of eternity determined that people would be saved. Now, God is consistent. And so, just as an example of God's consistency about how He's going to save sinners, is that when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, He only appeared to believers. So, after the resurrection, after the ascension, people that got saved by hearing the Word of God preached. They didn't believe because of a miracle Jesus performed after He was resurrected from the dead, because He only appeared to people that already believed. So when we think about the church age, it's this great privilege that you and I have that we can share the Word of God, and the Spirit of God can take the Word of God and it can bring people to new life. Isn't that that's an amazing thing, isn't it? We're going to talk about this in our luncheon. I'm going to share 5 minutes with you about that. That we have it's commanded. We have one major responsibility in this doctrine of the new birth. There's one major thing we're required to do. I'm going to tell you when you come to lunch. So, number one is made us alive together. Number two is living hope. Number three is the Word of God. Brought us forth. That's the birth by the Word of God. You know, I think about when I was saved. The birthing process, it took a while. The first time I heard the gospel and understood the claims. You know, I'd been to church before as a kid with my parents and never understood much of anything. But when I went to revival and heard the gospel for really the first time and I comprehended the claims of Christ on my life, it took 6 months. And I just was under massive conviction. Couldn't get away from it. And there were certain people, they wouldn't have to share with me, but when I would get around them, because they had shared with me, I heard the gospel at the revival, and they were encouraging me to believe in Jesus. So when I would see them at school or get around them, that overwhelming, I would remember the claims of the gospel, but it took 6 months. So I was in labor, spiritual labor, for several months. But I was born again. Folks, all of us have a different story. We're not all born. We're born again through Christ and through the Spirit. But how that happens is a different story for all of us. It's just different. But we are born again by the power. We're brought forth by the Word of God. Number four, Jesus said, "Do not marvel that I say to you," it's an imperative, "you must be born again." John 3:7. One of the greatest passages about the new birth is obviously John 3. You know, this is the same passage, ends up with John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." But this is His encounter with Nicodemus. And you know the whole story. Nicodemus, or Nick, we call him Nick, came to Him at night, and Jesus said, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus, it freaks him out. How can a man go back to his mother's womb and be born again? Of course, that's not the birth kind of birth Jesus was talking about. He's talking about a spiritual birth. Folks, it's obvious that you've been born. It's obvious when you're born again. when you're reading the scriptures about the new birth, he puts it in the frame of creation. Paul does that in 2 Corinthians especially. You know, God said, let light shine out of darkness. Did light shine out of darkness in Genesis? Did it? Then he says, he has shone in our hearts. So if God spoke nothing into something, that same God has shone in my hearts to give me new life. God saves through Christ. Amen? But are you saved? Have you been born again? That's the issue. Number 5 says, for as by a man came death. That's Adam. By a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. That's 1 Corinthians 15:21. When it's a marvelous thing that, spiritually speaking, when a believer ceases to exist physically, we really continue to live. Do you understand that? Because we've died in Christ with Him. He died. In our belief in Him, we died with Him. So when our physical body gives up the ghost, so to speak, we enter the presence of God. We don't cease to exist. And that's true. We know it's true because Christ has been resurrected from the dead. And only He who's conquered the grave can say to me and you, believe in me and I'll give you life. I'll give you eternal life. And I believe it. You believe it. One of the key beliefs of salvation is believing that Christ has been resurrected from the dead. Paul argues that in Romans 10, and believe that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Because a dead Savior can't save you. But He's alive. And you know He's alive because He's speaking to you right now. You know? I mean, His Spirit is just as alive because He's alive. You're a descendant, and y'all know this, and we've taught this our whole ministry here. Everybody's a descendant of the first Adam. Jesus is the last Adam. You're born again. You're born just like the first Adam. The second Adam, through Jesus, you're born another time. You're born again. Jesus uses the term born from above. So you're born anew, born from above. I love twice born. I love that phrase. Number 6 says, unless one is twice born, or born again, whatever term, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And folks, that is eternal security. I mean, it is talking about eternity. So, I mean, you don't want to be negative, but the fact is, lost people don't go to heaven. Lost people that are not saved, don't even understand God's kingdom. They're blind to God's kingdom, even right now. They don't understand the spiritual dynamics of living the Christian. They don't understand the beauty of the church, and because they're still dead in sin, or as the Bible says, they're blind. They don't see the kingdom. They won't see it if they're not saved, but even now they don't see what God's doing. And that's one of the signs of being saved. If you want to know whether you're saved or been born again, do you see the kingdom? Because He's in you. The King's in you. And He's working. He's the head of the church. Do you see the kingdom? Spiritual. I'm talking about spiritual now. Do you see the kingdom? Well, unsaved people don't, but saved people do, born again, because you have Him in you. And you were by nature, number 7, and you were by nature children of wrath. That's a sobering, Ephesians 2:3, made us alive. And you were by nature children of wrath just as the others. That's being a descendant of Adam. Number 8, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And all of us obviously have been born of Adam, so we're all in the flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's a spiritual birth, often called the new birth. Do not marvel that I said, you must be born again. Jesus mentions that four times in John 3. So it's John 3, 6, and 7. You must be born again. By the way, you do know that Nicodemus, Jesus, when talking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus was the, Jesus calls him the teacher of Israel. The article, distinct, his distinguishing mark was the head teacher of Israel was Nicodemus. The teacher, you are the teacher of Israel. So Nicodemus had the Old Testament mastered, was religious, kept the feast, kept all the law outwardly, but he was not saved. So folks, you can be a religious fanatic. You can be a good person compared to me and you and not be saved. Number 9, and I put 9, but there's two different verses, so in my mind I say 9 and 9b, but I'll give you the answer. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed. So the seed that our physical birth, the seed we perish. Often my infirmities, my physical infirmities, my dad had most of them. That's a perishable seed, right? I'm a descendant of my mom and dad, and their genetics or my genetics, whatever, everything that happened to him, a lot of that's happening to them, happens to me. That's a perishable seed. But we're born again through an imperishable seed. It doesn't fade. It doesn't age. It's not corrupt. But an imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. That's 1 Peter 1:23. I'll read it again. Since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. 9b says, and from Jesus Christ, this is Revelation, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. That's in Revelation chapter 1. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. What does that tell us about salvation? And this is our whole thing about studying heaven. If He's the firstborn from the dead and He's my Savior, if He's my Savior and my Lord and His Spirit is within me, if He's the firstborn from the dead, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to be brought back from the dead too. So tomorrow when we put Dale Howard in the ground, I can say to the family, because the tomb is empty, I promise you one day, all of us, the dead in Christ will rise first, and those of us who are alive and remain will be called up to meet the Lord in the air. There has to be a resurrected body. There's going to be a body given me that matches my spiritual eternal life. This body is not going to live forever, but God, in the rapture and glorification, He's going to give me a body for eternity. Whether I'm serving Him in the millennial kingdom or whether it's the new heaven and the new earth, it's about a physical existence. So Christ was the firstborn from the dead, and the first fruits, the firstborn, is the example of what's going to happen to the rest of us. But folks, the new birth only comes through Jesus. Let me give you a couple of verses. I tell you what, take your Bibles and go with me. Let me show you this. I'm going to give you one passage to look at. First, go to Titus. That's right there with Timothy, where Timothy was. Take a right, and you'll be in the book of Titus, okay? I want to show you this one, and then we're going to have an invitation this morning. But I want you to be thinking about salvation. Have you been born again? But I'm in Titus 3. Go to Titus 3. It's important that you look at this, because this is about heaven, and it's about salvation. I'm in Titus 3, and just for the sake of time, look at verse 5. Well, no, let's read verse 4. Verse 4. But when the goodness and love, Titus 3, 4. But when the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. The washing of regeneration, new life, regeneration, to cleanse, to make new, to purify. It was related to the purification process even in the New Testament times. But Christ purifies us. He cleanses us. He makes us new. Now, the regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. So He makes us new. He cleanses us. Now, that's Titus 3. Now go to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Hopefully this will make sense. Look at Matthew chapter 19. Look at verse 25. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" How difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. Okay, and they said, "Well, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter said in reply, "See," so now Peter's thinking he's going to get a lot of reward. "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" He's thinking, man, if we've left everything for you, what are we going to inherit? Now look what Jesus says. Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you," now look at your Bibles closely, "in the new world." Just stop right there. The same word for regeneration is translated here, "in the new world." You know what the Bible says about the new world? This Jesus is talking about, it's not the millennial kingdom. I mean, Satan will be bound and we'll have glorified bodies, but there'll still be sinners living on the earth. But the Bible says in Revelation 20, He will make a new heaven and a new earth. And the old heaven and the old earth will be done away with. Well, guess what happens in regeneration? See, it's exactly what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5. In salvation, to be new, to be born again, to be saved, whatever term you want to do, Paul said like this, "The old has passed away." Everybody in Christ is a new creation. "The old has passed away, the new has come." You're brand new when you're born again, just like Jesus is going to make everything brand new for heaven. You've been made brand new. But folks, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, you know, in the book of Acts, the Philippian jailer, this is reading about Paul and Silas, and they're preaching, and the Philippian jailer gets under conviction, and he says to Paul and Silas, y'all can answer this, he says to them, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Well, folks, have you been saved? you know, I love the word born again or twice, but have you been made new? Who you are today, were you a different person on the other side of what you're claiming to be salvation? In salvation, we're made brand new. That's what the word regeneration means. So when I say to people, I love the word saved, I've been saved, or I got saved when I was 16. I love saying that. What I'm also saying is I was made brand new when I was 16 years old. Folks, I know what it's like to be saved. Most of you in here know what it's like to be saved. You were made new. Have you been made new? If you're going to be saved, the Bible says you're only saved through Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and our hearts are open to the Lord. And I'm going to ask Cindy to come and play in just a second, but this is the invitation. It won't take long. I just want you to know this morning, if you're here today and you've never been saved, there is salvation in no one else except Christ Jesus. You've heard the gospel. The new birth has been explained. Have you been born again? Have you been born from on high? Has Jesus transformed your life? As we do many times, I'm going to pray and then we're going to stand and sing. I think it's I've decided to follow Jesus. But listen, if you're here today and you've never been saved, you may not have all the answers, but the one thing you do know is that Christ died and you can trust Him to save you and cleanse you from your sins. Won't you come down and talk to me about being saved today? We'll stay after church and talk about how you today can be born into the kingdom of God. Lord, we pray You'll move among us now and do a work in us. We pray in Christ's name. Stand with me. We're going to sing in it. I have decided to follow Jesus. You know it.
I have decided
sing another verse. Sing another one.
No man go away.
Thank you, Cindy. Let's pray. I'm going to say the blessing too, but as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Folks, the message, the things that we've talked about this morning, these are the things the lost world needs to hear. It's a basic story. We're sinners, and there's only one Savior. And if God has saved me from my sins, I should love Him enough to want to share that message with other people. Father, I always think about what it means to be saved. And I think about Paul when Paul's talking about the translation of people that believe that old things. That we're new creations, and old things have passed away, and all things are made new. And Lord, though I and others are not perfect, we know that when we were saved, when we were born again, that's what happened to us. That the power of Christ cleansed us, made us new, in His very presence sealed us until the day He comes back for us. Lord, thank you for salvation. Thank you for the new birth. Now, Lord, thank you for the hands that have so graciously prepared our lunch. I pray that the food and the fellowship will enrich us. Father, bless the things we'll share. Just, Lord, the strategy and the things that we are thinking about for church life, I pray that they will produce fruits that will bring glory to Jesus. Lord, thank you for days like today. Thank you for salvation. In Christ's name, amen.